Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our gospel lesson begins with a great fact. And the great fact is the Son of Man, that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament, this man will come in his glory and sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And what that means is that everyone's eternal destination is decided by the risen, ascended, and glorified Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other criteria of judgment on that day. All right? There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved, and it is he through whom God will judge the world in righteousness. And therefore, many that live among us now are living in a great situation of peril, because they either dismiss the very idea of a judgment day, or they think that they will be judged based on their sincerity to whatever it is they thought was important. But here we see clearly from the Word of God that it is Jesus Christ who shall return in glory to judge the living and the dead, and that all nations, every single person, will be gathered together in front of him to be judged. Now, you know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about temporal death, and we talked about the meaning of death, and how for a Christian, death has become a sleep in Jesus because it is a temporary, fleeting thing. Then last week, we talked about the signs that will portend the coming of the great day of Christ's return and of his just judgment of all things. And today, our emphasis here is on the great judgment itself. So the first picture to have in your mind here today is Christ and only him seated upon the throne of his glory as the risen, ascended, glorified, returned Son of the living God. And everyone will be judged by him. All right, now, let's move on from there. It says, he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. All right, so now there's a further picture. Before any word is spoken, before any criteria of judgment is announced, a separation takes place. The righteous are placed on the right hand, and the unrighteous and unbelieving are placed on the left hand. So all nations on that day will be divided up between those who are righteous in Christ and those who lived and died in the wickedness of their unbelief and sin. And just like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats, so it is that the Lord Jesus will separate the believers from the unbelievers before any word of evaluation takes place. So we see right from the very beginning, right, there is a vast difference between the believing righteous and the unbelieving wicked. And there is a gulf and a separation between them. Alright? Alright, so then what happens? Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, so that's the sheep, on his right hand, the righteous, and he will say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So here, what the Lord Jesus does, again, before he says anything about anyone's works or about their performance, he welcomes them into the blessedness and the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. All right, now this is key because we believe that salvation is by grace alone. When Simon Peter confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus responded to him by saying, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So who are the blessed of the Father? It is they who believe and confess that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And the kingdom of glory was prepared for them from before the foundation of the world. Now think about that. Your place in heaven was set aside for you before God even created the universe. All right? That's how certain and how sure your salvation is, that before he created the foundations of the earth, he prepared a kingdom for you to inherit. All right, so now again, so far, nothing has happened by which we can get an idea that we have earned anything by our works. So what happens next? Jesus says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, when did we do all these things? And Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now, there are several things that usually get glossed over because the way this passage of Scripture is misused, it is misused by the works mongers of our world who want to create the impression that your place in heaven is conditioned upon your successful work of discipleship. And so they don't really follow what Jesus is actually saying here, all right? That what they're doing is they are putting the cart before the horse. They are putting things backwards. Notice that Jesus separates the sheep from the goat right at the very beginning, before any words are spoken. Then he commends the righteous and welcomes them into heaven before any works are talked about. And then he talks about what? Only the good works of Christian discipleship that they have done. Why? Because when you come to Jesus Christ in faith, your sins are forgiven and washed away. And therefore, God will not hold you accountable on the day of judgment for sins that He has forgiven, unless you forsake faith and fall back into living in sin and departing from the will of God in unbelief. But if you endure in faith, that faith will produce certain behaviors in you. All right? But the faith is what makes you a child of God. So what are we to make of these? First of all, hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, and in prison, and you ministered unto me. All right? Then he says, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. What does that mean? One of the least of these my brethren. In other words, Christian faith is shown by how we interact with our fellow Christians. All right, one of the least of these, my brethren. The unbelievers in the world are not the brethren of Christ. Who are the brethren of Christ? They are the Christian believers and the pastors and teachers of the church. And so, faith is shown by how we relate to our fellow Christians, that is, how we reach out to them in their time of need, pray for them, come to them, support them, and help them in their need while they seek to be doing the will of God in the world. All right, so therefore, the works that are listed here are not the sins that the believers commit. They've already been judged on the cross. What's being judged here is the good works that show the faith of the believers. All right? These are the things that you did because you are believers in me. And therefore, it is faith in me that saves you. And that faith was shown to the world by the way you cared for those who were of like faith with you. Then he turns to the unrighteous, to the goats on the left-hand side, and he calls them accursed. Depart from me, ye cursed. All right? And he says, your place is everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, this is interesting because the Lord here is telling us that hell was never created in the first place as a habitation of man. Hell was created to be the abode of the devil and his angels, the demons. That's what hell was originally created for. But in the light of the fact that God's grace has come into the world through Jesus Christ, anyone who remains in league with the devil through unbelief will have their lot with the devil and his angels in the everlasting fire. Now, here's one of those places where Jesus is shown to be not the Jesus of modern thinking. You know, the Jesus of modern thinking is kind of, you know, the hippie Jesus, you know, the sweetie pie Jesus who never has a cross word to say about anybody. You know, that Jesus that you see talked about by the unbelievers around you in the world, they're always enlisting the sweetie pie Jesus for their agenda. But the real Jesus is not hippie Jesus. The real Jesus is not sweetie pie Jesus. And he shows it to us here by saying that there is everlasting fire, and that those who have spurned his gift of salvation will have their place in it along with the devil and his angels. And then he shows how they had no faith. All right, he says, I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. All right? In other words, their unbelief is shown by how they treated the Christian church that was among them in the world. All right? The unbelievers, with their scoffing and their mockery and their unbelief and their happy persistence in sin and their despising of God's word, despising of the gathering of the saints on the Lord's day, they show by their works toward the Christians that they were people who had no faith whatsoever. And so not one good thing that they ever did is remembered, because apart from Christ, nothing we ever do is truly a good work. Right? Nothing we ever do apart from Christ is anything but a sin in the eyes of God. And so they are not commended in any way, but they are shown to be the unbelievers that they insisted and persisted in being. All right? Inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. One of the least of these, my brethren, that means how you treated the preachers and the people of the holy Christian church who witnessed among you the truth of the gospel of Christ. All right, finally today, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. All right, so twice in this passage, we see that there are massive consequences to not believing in Christ. These, the wicked, the unbelieving, the goats on the left, will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, that is, those who through faith in Christ were righteous and whose faith was expressed by solidarity with the holy Christian church and the Word of God, these shall go into life eternal. So I made it to the end. I can still talk. All right. Next week, hopefully my voice will be back and I'll be able to concentrate a little bit more. Today, concentrating on just getting my voice to say the word. So God bless the preaching of His word. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.